There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, we're doing a little analysis of the Supreme Court's decision to legalize homosexual marriage, having just heard from Dr. Robert George of Princeton University. Turn now to Dr. Ryan Anderson. He is William E. Simon Senior Research Fellow in American Principles and Public Policy for the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C. Dr. Anderson, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Sure, happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
The framers of the U.S. Constitution, would they recognize the decision taken today by the U.S. Supreme Court?
Not at all. They would say that this is not something that the Constitution that they worked on and ratified, nor any of the people who ratified the amendments to the Constitution, they would not recognize today's decision as being required by the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires the redefinition of marriage. And today's decision is really quite simply judicial activism. It's five unelected judges saying they know better than the entire nation and all of human history, and that they were going to redefine marriage for the rest of us.
Even the dissenting judges have essentially made that their response. In addition to their other elements of their dissent, they are quite strong in pointing out that the majority has overstepped its bounds. They're making some statements about the Supreme Court that indicate some alarm, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Each and every one, all four of the dissenting justices issued their own well-written, well-reasoned dissents, because they want to point out this is causing harm to democratic self-government, this is causing harm to marriage, this is causing harm to civil peace, this is causing harm to religious liberty. But they're all stressing that there was no role whatsoever for five unelected judges to unilaterally make marriage policy for an entire nation, that this is something that we, the people, need to decide. So I've written a book responding to this, The Future of Marriage and Religious Liberty. We just gave it a new title. It's called Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom. We could see this coming. We knew that Justice Kennedy was likely to write a 5-4 opinion. We have so much to do now, because we have to defend our rights, religious freedom rights. We also have to rebuild a strong marriage culture, and we have to restore our constitutional authority. So there's a lot of work to be done. It takes a book to lay out the argument. But we need to be prepared to do this.
Philosophically, politically, how did we come to this morning's decision, Dr. Anderson?
Sure. You know, I lay out a couple of kind of historical changes. What we've seen is we've seen a change in the type of government we have. It used to be one of limited and enumerated powers. Then with the rise of the progressive movement, the rise of the administrative state, we got an unlimited government. And that's also what gave us the rise of judicial activism, with judges legislating from the bench. We also had a sexual revolution, which changed the nature of our values. Only in a nation that had already gone through 40 or 50 years of confusion about the family could we get to a point where people didn't even realize that marriage was a union of a man and a woman. And I think the third change, and this is what's coming on the horizon, is that we have fundamentally misunderstood the role of religion in American public life, and we've redefined the free exercise of religion as the mere freedom to worship. And so what's going to be interesting going forward is whether or not Americans who continue to believe the truth about marriage, that it's the union of a man and a woman, will they be respected in law, or will the government discriminate against them and coerce them? And that's what, you know, I've written this book to try to prepare us to defend our rights and build a strong marriage culture.
The attenuation of religious freedom, the definition of religious freedom that you just mentioned, go into a little more depth on that. The previous common definition of what religious liberty was and what it has or is quickly becoming.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot here. So let me immediately say that this takes three different chapters in my forthcoming book. But most simply is what we saw in the Hobby Lobby case was that the government, the Obama administration, was arguing that the free access to religion is just the freedom to worship. And so you're free to do what you want to do inside the four walls of your chapel. But the Green family and the Hahn family, the owners of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood, were not free to run their businesses in accordance with their values. We've seen bakers and florists and photographers who have been fined for not wanting to help celebrate a same-sex wedding. We've seen Catholic charity adoption agencies have to shut their doors down because the government was violating their free exercise of religion. So what I try to do in the future of marriage and religious freedom is explain to people why religious freedom is a basic human right, why the government exists to protect our rights, not violate our rights, and how to make the case in the public square to defend the truth, both about marriage and about religious freedom.
So we've watched the collision already. Now that the decision of the Supreme Court has been made, how will the continued collision between, I guess what we'll call here, marriage equality, for the lack of a better term, and religious freedom, how will that collision, kind of a slow motion car wreck, how will it continue to evolve?
Well, it all depends on what we do, because what we know is that the left has said that if you oppose same-sex marriage, you are the functional equivalent of a racist who is opposed to interracial marriage, and that the law should treat you the same way the law treats racists. So if we do nothing, that is what will happen. The reason I wrote this book was to try to motivate us to do something, to defend our rights, and to make the case that it's reasonable to believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Believing that and acting on that belief doesn't in any way violate other people's rights to believe what they want to believe and live how they want to live. And so the government has no business coercing or discriminating against citizens, charities, schools, businesses, and every other association that believes and acts on the belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. We need to defend that truth, because the people on the left, they're saying that we're bigots and the law should treat us as bigots. We need to be able to explain why we believe what we believe about marriage and why we have the right to live out what we believe about marriage.
What do American citizens do from this point on? American citizens who simply cannot have a Supreme Court's decision determine their thinking or their beliefs on this. What do they do?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to do is say that the truth is not up for a vote, right? I mean, the Supreme Court can issue a 5-4 decision and either get the case right or wrong, but that doesn't change the truth of the matter. And so what the court did today was it said that all 50 states now have to tell a lie about marriage, but it didn't actually change what marriage is. And so it's up to each and every one of us as citizens of a free country like America to refuse to believe the lie and to continue defending the truth, continue bearing witness to the truth. After Roe v. Wade, all of the elites were saying that the court had settled the abortion issue. 40 years later, we know that it's not settled. We know that the pro-life movement has bore witness to the truth about unborn life, and it protected its freedom to do so. So we got good religious liberty and conscience laws that protected our rights. We need to do the same thing now. And so that's what I try to do in Truth Overruled, the future of marriage and religious freedom. It's to help people see the parallels between the pro-life movement and what now needs to be the pro-marriage movement. And we need to now bear witness to the truth and defend our rights to live in accordance with the truth.
Finally, then, Dr. Anderson, coming back to the framers of the U.S. Constitution, they did certainly have a notion of what we would call today natural marriage, and they certainly saw it as occupying a role in American civic and political and legal life. What was their view, and how much has changed today?
Oh, sure. So the American founders understood that marriage was a natural institution, not the creation of a state, but it was something that was built into human nature. So it was pre-political, and that the government had a responsibility to recognize marriage, not recreate marriage. And they would be shocked to see the government coming in and saying, not only are we going to redefine what marriage is, we're going to redefine it in a way that no one up until a decade ago even thought was plausible. Throughout all of human history, every great thinker said marriage was the union of male and female. And today the court, in its arrogance, has said that that is irrational and that five judges know better than the American people. That's what we need to push back on.
Dr. Ryan Anderson is William E. Simon Senior Research Fellow in American Principles and Public Policy for the Heritage Foundation. Based in Washington, D.C., he's author of the forthcoming book, Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom. You can find out more about this book at issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Anderson, thank you very much for your time today.
Sure thing. Thank you.
When we come back, Dr. Albert Mohler will join us to discuss the Supreme Court's decision on homosexual marriage.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly seat us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.